Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Brother Lynn and I were sitting on the front bench here this morning. I just leaned over to him and said, he shall take his time for devotions this morning because I don't feel like I have a lot prepared for a message. When we got the word last night, actually, I didn't get it till early this morning because I had my phone laying beside the bed and I had it silenced, but there was a text message on my phone letting us know that my father-in-law passed away. We had been somewhat expecting that for the last little while. His physical health had been declining and things were changing. We could tell that things were going downhill. As I looked at that text and I thought about some of the things I had been thinking about in the last week, I sat down at my desk to finish the message that I thought God had been leading me to share this morning. And my mind was drawn to a different passage of Scripture. And as I read that passage and I looked at it more and more, I began to realize that there's some things we need to look at, need to be reminded of. The message title this morning is Prepare for Eternity. And it was interesting as I sat in the Sunday school this morning and heard the thoughts discussed, how much our discussion and how much our reading and studying of the Bible centers around us as individuals preparing to meet God. In the lesson summary of last week's lesson, it says, Satan opposed God from the very beginning, seeking to draw men away from God. Man is responsible for having disobeyed his creator. All have inherited the Adamic nature and have sinned. As a result, all will face physical death, and unless they repent, are doomed to spiritual death. The truths surrounding the fall of man should help us to see the seriousness of disobedience and our accountability to our Creator. Our only hope is in the Redeemer whom God has provided in Jesus Christ. May we not spurn the opportunity to be reconciled to God and to live in Christian victory. As I looked at those words, I was impressed how much that coincides with the message this morning. And then also, on the front of the bulletin for this morning, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we think about those things and we realize that our life today, the choices that we make in our life here and now, don't only affect the here and now. And not just 5 years down the road or 10 years or 20 years down the road, but they affect eternity. And if we can comprehend that, if we can grasp the meaning of that in our minds. My father-in-law was 81 years old. You'd say, well, old people die. But it's not been too many weeks ago that we heard of a young child just not too far away from here being killed in an accident. And we hear of young people and young fathers and young mothers. And there's a German phrase that the German ministers in the Old Order Church, that was my background, they used very regularly. And they used to say, die Junge kenne und die Alte misse. The young ones can die, the old ones must. And we need to remember that there's not any one of us sitting here this morning. Oh, we all have plans. We all have plans for this afternoon and tomorrow and so forth. But there's not one of us sitting here this morning that is exempt from death. And that death may come very suddenly. Or it may come slowly. We don't know. Turn with me to a familiar passage in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And as we look at this, we look back in the beginning of the chapter, we see that Jesus was talking to his disciples there in verse 1. And then down in verse 14, it says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Jesus here was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about life, and talking about how we live our lives, and how we relate to those around us, and how our relationship with God is important. And he also, there toward the end of like verses 10 and on, he talks about serving money and being a servant of that which is on this earth. And the Pharisees, he says then, who were covetous. And that word covetous there can involve a lot of things, not just coveting money, but coveting praise of men, coveting honor, coveting glory. They derided him. And interestingly enough, my Bible there for the word deride in the center column, it says they turned up their noses. But then he goes on in verse 15, and he talks to them. He says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. He looks right at them and he tells them, you justify yourself. You make yourself look good. You make yourself to be somebody. But it's not the justification before men. But it's the justification before God, who knows our heart. Dropping down to verse 19 and reading from there to the end of the chapter. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that most of us probably have heard as a child. But I believe as we look at this passage of Scripture, it points out to us the importance of the life that we live today. And as we think about our lives today and the choices that we make and the decisions and the choices that come our way and the direction that we choose to go, that doesn't just affect what we do that day. It doesn't just affect what's going to take place tomorrow. But brothers and sisters, I want to impress upon us this morning that the choices that we make in our life here and now is going to be the deciding factor as to where we're going to spend eternity. It's that serious. We need to reckon with the fact that when we choose to say no to God, that it's going to affect our destiny. And when we choose to say yes to God and we follow His command and we follow His will and we give up our own, it's going to make a difference in our destiny. Every one of us has the opportunity and the responsibility to choose right. We have the knowledge. Apparently, this story that Jesus tells here is not a parable, because the beggar had a name. He did not name the rich man, but he did name the beggar. Why is it so important that we recognize that this story is not a parable? I believe, brothers and sisters, that we need to look at this in reality and that it is fact. It is not a parable that we can draw parallels from. This is a true, actual happening that Jesus tells us about. And therefore, it is fact. Now, the parables that Jesus tells, we can draw a lot of things from those stories. The parable of the sower and the good seed. That story was probably a true illustration, a true story. A sower went forth to sow, and we know how they sowed in those days. They cast the seed out. They didn't have fancy equipment like we do today. And we draw parallels from those stories. You know, the story of the lost coin and the lost sheep. We draw parallels from that. You know, the lost sheep is the sinner, is us, and we were found by the shepherd. But this story here, Jesus is giving this story as fact. This is how it is. There was a rich man, and he lived good. And I don't believe that Jesus is necessarily condemning the life of this rich man as far as being rich. But I believe the condemnation comes in as to the decision of what he did with those things. Because it says he fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain man, a beggar, laid at his gate, and he didn't bother to help him. That was a decision that rich man made. That was a decision that he made to please himself and to keep his provisions for himself and not share them with somebody in need. And we say, well, that's a simple decision. You know, that's simple. You know, maybe he wasn't aware of the beggar. Maybe, you know, we don't know. But the condemnation came on him because of the decisions that he made in life. It doesn't say anything about Lazarus' decisions. It doesn't say what he had done in his life. It doesn't say why he was a beggar. It doesn't say that he had a business that failed. It doesn't say that he was lazy or anything like that. It just says he was a beggar. But he was a man in need. And the rich man made the choice not to help. But we do understand from verse 22 that Lazarus was a follower of God. Because it says he died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And I don't believe that God had pity on him just because he was a beggar and because he had sores. And God said, well, this man had a tough life, so I'm going to take him to heaven. I'm going to take him to Abraham's bosom. No, there was decisions that were made. Lazarus made decisions to be faithful to God. There was decisions that were made. Again, our choices decide our end, decide our destiny, and decide our place in eternity. What is eternity? When you stop and think about an individual that you know that has lived in this life and has died, and you stop and think about where they are today and what lies after death's door, what is beyond there. Eternity. We say eternity. Can we really comprehend what eternity means? The dictionary would say indefinite duration or existence. The fact, state, or quality of being eternal. That still doesn't. Indefinite duration or existence. The easiest way for us to explain it is to say it never ends. Eternity. Well, the beggar was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and we understand that to be the place of departed saints before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, the rich man also died and was buried. Simple fact. He was buried. But it says, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, can you see the difference? Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And it says in verse 25 that he was comforted. The rich man was in hell in torments. The choices that we make are going to decide whether we're going to be comforted or whether we're going to be in torments. The choices that these two individuals made in life decided where they were placed in eternity. We today can sometimes go through life, moment by moment, day by day, and not even think about eternity. Not even think about the life beyond the grave. Not even think about the life beyond death. But every one of us needs to remember and needs to be reminded, me included, that this life is a preparation for eternity. This life is God giving us the opportunity to decide, yes, decide where we're going to spend eternity. God doesn't look down on this earth and say, well, this one here I'm going to put in hell, and this one here I'm going to put in heaven, and this one here, let's see, which one's getting the fullest? That's not what happens. We decide by our decisions, by our actions. We decide, are we going to be a follower of God? Are we going to obey His word? Or are we going to go our own way? The rich man in hell became very religious very suddenly, and he said, send Lazarus back to my brothers so that they don't come to this place of torment. You know what Abraham told him? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have God's word. Just like you and I do today. Abraham said, if they don't hear that, they're not going to believe though one rises from the dead. Brothers and sisters, if the word of God doesn't make a difference in our life today, then somebody rising from the dead and coming and telling us the word of God isn't going to make a difference either. Brothers and sisters, today we have one that rose from the dead. We have Jesus Christ. And He's the one that told us what hell is like. And He's the one that told us what heaven is like. And He's the one that told us that it's the life here and now that is going to decide where we're going to be going. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because of that resurrection, we have the power to overcome Satan, that one that went against God and that one that is trying to deceive mankind so that they spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire with Him. These two individuals that we read about here in Luke chapter 16 lived a life on this earth that decided where they're going to spend eternity. And that is our life here today. We're going to decide by our decisions whether we're going to be comforted or tormented. Because we see in verse 26, after Lazarus had asked for just a little bit of water to cool his tongue, excuse me, not Lazarus, the rich man had asked Lazarus to come and cool his tongue with just a little bit of water. You know, that wouldn't be much, would it? Dip his finger in water. One drop. Maybe two drops of water. What kind of torment must that man have been suffering? But he wanted Lazarus to come and cool his tongue. And Abraham says, in verse 26, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. I heard just recently of an individual that said, when they get to heaven, I mean, when they die and they meet God, they're going to have an argument with Him. And they're going to tell Him how unfair life was to them. Brothers and sisters, when we die and we meet God, we're not going to have an argument with Him. The destiny is sealed. The choices have been made. The decisions have been made. There's a gulf fixed. The verse in the Old Testament tells us, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. We understand that there's no turning back. There's no changing. And when we meet God, when we stand before the throne of God, we're going to be speechless because we will know that God knows everything. And we will understand that when God hands down that verdict, whether it be come or whether it be depart, we are going to know that it's just. We're going to understand that what God says is final. There will be no argument. The gulf is fixed, the destiny is sealed, and we will be where we have chosen to be. I'd like to read a few verses in Revelation just to draw our minds to what God says about hell and about heaven. Revelation chapter 20. I'd like you to take some time and read Revelation chapter 20 and 21. I'm just going to pick out a few verses. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire that burneth with torment day and night forever and ever. That's where the devil and the beast and the false prophet are. And verse 15 tells us that those that were not found written in the book of life. Is your name written there? Verse 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And going down to the end of the chapter, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God lightened it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night, there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Again, I ask the question, is your name written in there? The choice is ours today. The door is not yet closed on our life. Every one of us can make choices and decisions that will affect where we will spend eternity. If you're not sure about your eternal destiny, or if maybe you know that your eternal destiny would be to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever, don't leave this place until you've talked with somebody If you know that your place is in heaven, praise the Lord. If you know that your place is with those who are by the tree of life, praising God and glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, you have a reason to rejoice. You have reason to have a joyful heart and a clear conscience. Praise God. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you.